Hey everybody, this is Alex with the 18th sort of episode of the Dresden Files podcast. We'll explain about that, about what happened to episode 17 in a minute. I just want to first introduce everyone that we have today. We have Director Alex.
Hello.
Justin's back.
Hello again.
I guess he never left. We have two new guests today. One new guest, one recurring guest. They're both mods on the Dresden Files subreddit. First, Andreas, also known as Syntax Smurf. We've had him before.
Hey.
And new to the show, John, also known as Exodus Machine.
Hello.
John, as you know, whenever we have a new host, a new guest on the show, we like to have them tell us their three favorite books and their favorite character.
Okay, I can do that. Well, my three favorite books, I love White Knight, especially for the ending. That was just, you know, lovely, the whole thing in the Wraith Deeps. Then Turncoat, and you know, this is one of the main reasons it's one of my favorites is because my wife loves it when James Marsters does the voice for Peabody, you know, the end is nigh. She loves that part, and it just makes me love the book that much more. And then Changes, because it's Changes. I mean, I really like that one. So that's my three favorite books. And then for my three favorite characters.
One favorite character.
Oh, well then, in that case, it's Nicodemus.
Oh, lordy.
You make me choose one, it's going to be Nicodemus.
So. Oh, you're going to have to explain that.
Because
Have you listened to the show before, John?
I have listened to the last couple episodes, but like, that's it. So.
Go ahead. Explain why you like Nicodemus.
Because he's a good bad guy. That's the main reason. So few books I read have really excellent bad guys that, you know, have good bad guys. You know, Skin Game is what really made me really appreciate him, because he got the smackdown.
Speaking of Skin Games, that's my new favorite book, by the way. I think that's the best book so far.
But yeah. You cannot like Nicodemus, that's fine, but I mean,
I'll
my reason
that.
Is because I just love him as a character, because I love it when he shows up. I love that he's just basically unrepentantly evil, and you don't see that very often with a character that's supposed to be human.
Yeah, I would agree that he is a well-written character, but I still fucking hate him. But
he is very well-written if you hate him.
Yeah.
No,
he's a great character to love to hate. That's you know, basically why he's one of my favorite characters. I mean,
that's fair.
I mean, if a character can get that visceral reaction from you, then it's a great character. Whether it's a good character or a bad character, whether it's your most hated or your most loved. Yeah, just a great character.
Yeah. I've talked too much already about my hate for Nicodemus, so we're going to move on. Thank you for your favorite books and favorite character.
Yeah.
So we want to explain a little bit, or try to explain, I guess, what happened. How long ago was it, Director Alex? 2-3 weeks ago? Long?
We tried on February 11th or something? I can't remember the date.
So almost a month ago.
And then we tried to reschedule, and it just didn't happen.
Yeah, following week. We were trying to get Jim on the show. You know, we totally understand that he's really busy. We're still trying to get back in contact with him. And you'll have news when we have news. So, you know, we're trying to give Jim some space and let him write. We know he's really busy trying to get the book out.
And whenever that happens, that's when you'll get episode 17.
Yeah. We're reserving the episode 17 number for that episode. So we're sure that it will happen eventually. We're just not sure when, and we'll let you know. Second news item, we have started a entertainment collective organization umbrella. We're not sure what we're calling it. The name of the organization is called Broken Jars from the Zelda franchise, the Broken Jars. You can find some more information, brokenjars.xyz. We're starting it with the gentleman from 42 Entertainment Podcast, who we've had on the show before. It's basically just an umbrella organization. You can find also my gaming initiative there, shyloxgaming.xyz. We're looking for partners and other people who may want to be part of this organization. If you're open to that, you can send us an email, dresdenfilespodcast@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter at twitter.com/dresdencast. Find us on the subreddit, /r/dresdenfiles. YouTube, look us up, Dresden Files Podcast, and also iTunes. You can find all of that on dresdenfilespodcast.com. Before we move on to other news...
Everything's named Dresden Files Podcast except the Twitter.
Yeah, I couldn't fit Dresden Files Podcast, and I think other things were taken, so I just went with Dresden Cast. That's the username. But I guess if you look up... I think if you looked up Dresden Files Podcast, you probably... Anyway, that's a good point. Anyway, before we move on, this is a 100% spoilers podcast. We will spoil everything ever that ever happens in the books or TV show, the books coming up. Anything we talk about, it's possible to get spoiled. And also, this is an explicit language podcast. I think I already used the F word like 3 times. Justin, can you please talk about Wildcard, the comic?
Yeah, I can talk a little bit about it. So despite the fact that we still don't have a release date for Peace Talks or anything, and he's still working on that, he was able to get some stuff over to Dynamite, who has been doing his comics. And so the next one is called Wildcard, and it's expected to be in stores on April 20th. So we do actually have a date for that. You can find out information on Dynamite.com and JimButcher.com for more specifics. Kind of a synopsis is, I think this is the one, John, you were mentioning, this is the one about the Joker-type character. So he's going to be in Chicago dealing with political parties there. We were kind of throwing around ideas earlier that it takes place after White Knight and after Downtown, so it's kind of the right area for there to be a brand new Baron Johnny Marcone. And, you know, probably the White Court is newly minted as well under Lara's leadership. And probably, I mean, the Red Court is still around. So those might be the 3 players. There may be fairies is something that we speculated about as well, since they're pretty heavy in Chicago. So.
Yeah, and since we have the subreddit mods here, like they can share their own news for the mods things. I think John had some stuff to say about what they're doing with the subreddit stuff.
Yeah, I've been working on a new theme, because our theme is pretty outdated. And obviously nothing will go forward until all of us mods agree on is a good look. But if you want to see what I'm working on, or anyone wants to see, you can go to the subreddit Spirit of Intellect, and you can see the current theme for Stormfront. I'm trying to do a different theme for each book. And there's a few other subreddits that do that for different subjects, like the Science Reddit. They do, you know, different subjects. I'm also working on flares. It's a slow process because I want them all to fit thematically with how I'm doing the themes. So it's a work in progress, and that's not actually on there yet because I have to learn how to put them on there. So it's a matter of learning how everything works with that stuff. That's the main things that I had to talk about with the subreddit.
Also flares. Everybody wants flares.
Everyone wants flares, and I'm working on it. It's a slow process, and half the time they look like crap when I actually get them done. And my son was supposed to help me, but he's busy with school, so.
What have we talked about with the flares? It's going to be like factions?
Factions. We have factions and certain characters. And obviously we're keeping the custom flares for people who we've given custom flares to. Because why would we take them away? That would be a stupid thing to do. Everyone would complain and call us evil mods and say that we're the worst thing ever on Reddit.
Yeah, we're so strict around Dresden Files.
I've banned one person. One person.
I've removed 2 or 3 comments and 1 threat.
Yeah, John, I have to ask you about this. I don't know if this is going to be seen as inappropriate, but whatever. So many of your posts are downvoted. Is it still like that? It's weird. I don't understand why that happens.
Oh my god. My downvoted posts?
Yeah, they're like never really anything terrible, but you get like, I don't know.
People don't like moderators telling them what they're supposed to be doing and enforcing the laws or the rules.
I usually get an upvote.
I've been getting upvotes, but occasionally whenever it gets downvoted, I say, go ahead and downvote me all you want. You're still an asshole.
Don't do that. That's the problem.
I thought you could use this as a chance to, you know, to explain your point of view, whatever.
He has a ton of comment karma, and everything I can see on his basic character user page is really highly upvoted, actually.
I think Reddit has an algorithm for determining when you're being mass downvoted versus, like, actually downvoted, so...
Yeah, they do.
But that still stinks that you have to deal with that.
Well, yeah, I don't care. It's just internet points, you know, on a website.
Now mods have the ability to sticky a comment at the top of it, so you can force everyone to look at it.
Yeah, I've done that a couple times with the really bad offenders.
Yeah. So. Do you find a lot of bad, like a lot of spam, or I'm just interested now that we have you guys.
We have got a huge amount of spam ever since we broke 12,000 users on our subreddit.
Yeah.
Just like, I think it was 2 weeks ago, on one Saturday, we got 20 separate pieces of porn spam. And occasionally you see it come through on the subreddit. And you know, I jump on that stuff because I don't like that stuff showing up on our subreddit because it doesn't belong there, obviously. Yeah. I even put up the, there's a high filter for you know, there's on the moderation tools, there are three different types of filters. For comments, links, and text posts. And so what happens is you have a high, low, and none. We usually have none. So I put it to high for link comment for links. And that's made it so most of them actually go into the mod queue instead of showing up on the subreddit.
Mm-hmm.
But it does mean that other people's posts show up in the mod queue occasionally. They get caught in there. And that was the best way to handle it because, yeah, we've been inundated with them for, like I said, since we reached 12,000. And from what I was reading, other small subs have also had that issue. So it's not just us.
Yeah. Speaking of subscriber accounts, I was surprised that they were removing inactive accounts. And we actually only lost like 200 or something accounts.
I think it was like 230. Yeah. Accounts.
So like I thought, we're gonna go below 12,000 again, but we didn't even drop below that when they cut away inactive accounts. That's nice.
I just have to commend you, John. Like I have seen the porn spam everywhere, but I haven't seen anything on the Dresden Files subreddit. So whatever you're doing, it's definitely working, and I don't see people complaining about their posts getting removed. Although
usually contact us. Like, is my thing didn't show up, and then we approve it.
Yeah, I think I've had one thing show up like that in the last month where someone's link didn't go through and got caught in the mod queue. It doesn't happen very often because most things are discussions on our subreddit. They're all self-posts, and I have that on a low filter.
Yeah.
Or no filter, low filter, I can't remember which it is. But all text posts will go through. All self-text posts go through. Which is bad when we have a new release, but it's fine for right now. Once we have a new release, everything's getting locked down like we did for Skin Games. So
yeah, new release time is the best time.
Yeah, you guys handled that really well too. I was impressed with that. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, I worked really hard trying to make sure no one got spoiled because I remember when Cold Days came out and everyone was spoiled by people putting up about Molly being the new Winter Lady. It was all over the place.
Some people do it unintentionally, but there was a surprising amount of people who just did it completely on purpose, like they were like in a mean-spirited way, which was
they were doing the Snape kills Dumbledore thing.
Yeah, right. that's so mean.
I think it's just representative of the internet culture as a whole now because you know even week to week shows like The Walking Dead, like you'll have other websites that like post reviews of the episode and they'll be like, oh my god, can you believe they killed so and so right in the title? And so you hardly can't even go online anymore.
Watch it first or whatever. What was the last thing I really didn't want to guess? But I think Star Wars. I was just like. Yep. Okay, I'm just not going to go on Reddit for a week because I'm not seeing it until a week from now.
Same. Star Wars and this game that recently came out called Firewatch. I was trying to stay away from that stuff. Yeah,
I've gotten to the point where I just accept spoilers for what they are and enjoy all books just for the journey, not the destination, because I'm going to get spoiled no matter what.
Oh, that's so sad.
When you run a subreddit for something, that's the sacrifice you make, that you're going to be spoiled.
The rest of the files, I'm probably going to get spoiled when it comes out.
You should like email Jim and ask if you can get advanced copies of the books. He might do it.
If we manage a subreddit for your book, can we get advanced copies?
If there's anyone you can trust, it's you guys.
I could email what's his agent's name, Sarah.
Yeah,
I've emailed her before about stuff. Assistant. Yeah, I've emailed her about stuff before, so I could ask for an arc, but I don't know if I'm gonna get it.
You could like offer to pay double price to get like 3 days earlier, so just so that you don't get spoiled by your subreddit people.
Yeah. Like I said, it doesn't bother me to be spoiled. So I mean, I got over that a long time ago because on the internet, you're going to get spoiled.
Yeah.
I had to deal with all that. I've been on the internet since the late 90s, so it's just part of the culture.
All right. So we do have some other things to discuss, but we can loop back to this if we have some more time later, because this is definitely interesting.
We have like a kind of a community discussion of the Dresden Files fan community, and there was a thread in the fantasy subreddit about Harry being just like that nice guy that wears a fedora. And this is how the books get viewed when you're stuck in the second book, which this person was. The quote he pulled out was just I have considered a very out-of-date chauvinist attitude about women. I like to treat them like ladies, pull out their chairs and stuff, and people just like can't like this type of attitude, and so this huge discussion of whether the books are worth it or not. And we just put that up for discussion, you guys. Anybody have any thoughts?
I have a lot of thoughts. Go for it, Andres.
First of all, I think that people, I don't like that people project Harry as a wish-fulfillment character for Jim, because I think that's totally not true. Like, I read through and I was like, yeah, it's clearly this is a wish-fulfillment character, and he just wants to, you know, whatever. But it's just not true. I mean, I think that this just shows that Harry has, you know, some complexity, because it gives him personality. He's not like chauvinist about it, and he actually gets teased by fuck, why can't I remember her name now? Detective, short, blonde.
Murphy. Yeah, I was like, Murphy? You know, that little minor character, she's got no part in anything.
Yeah, I mean, and he just, like, he calls her Emma Chauvinist Pig a lot, but I don't really think he is at all. But he's also been raised by people who are from a different era than what most people are in our day and age.
And I can relate to that because I was actually raised by my grandparents, which is a completely different thing from, you know, being raised by baby boomers instead. So I can really understand where he's coming from with that. And my wife and I actually had a discussion about this being chauvinistic, and it seems like they're ascribing modern cultural things to a book that was written when this wasn't so cringeworthy as the term is now.
Yeah,
right. That I only got the post in during our pre-show, so I kind of skimmed through some of the top level comments, and one of the main replies that I kind of, you know, identified with was the fact that, look, the guy wrote this book 15 years ago before your fedora wearing thing was a meme. Okay, but even more than that, though, like, it just seems like we're, in the last couple of years, we're very much trying to push people into these five or six little templates that if you don't do this, then you're a hater, or you're a chauvinist, you're a racist, blah, 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 so that we can feel justified in our own opinions. And at the end of the day, I'm losing my train of thought, but hold on 1 second here. So anyway, the point is that he wrote this a long time ago. This isn't trying to get somebody butthurt. Dresden pokes fun at himself that he's got these old-timey kind of ideas. I don't see what the problem is. Oh, I remember the point I was going to make. As assured as you are to get spoilers on the internet, you are definitely going to find somebody butthurt over something you said on the internet. I mean, we have like all of 100 subscribers, and we felt that burn, so...
Yeah,
everybody's different people. We're all complex human beings. We're like very few people are going to agree on anything, like in the broad strokes of things. So.
Yeah. Do you guys know or have been following anything that's been going on with the new J.K. Rowling series?
Oh, yeah.
Specifically, she started writing about Native Americans and got a lot of criticism for doing that. I don't know exactly what she wrote, but something about how all of the skinwalkers are just animagi, maybe, or something.
Yeah, that's what it was. The skinwalkers are animagi, and
people are just flipping shit over the fact that she said that, and people actually started bringing up Dresden Files and Shagnasty. It's like, but he did it, and no one has a problem. They're just pissed off the fact that J.K. Rowling.
That's because she's a big enough target to make a case for their. Their agenda that they're trying to push forward. That's the main thing. She's a great big target.
I think it's like, because the way that it's done in the Dresden Files, it's somewhat based around their own, like the mythology of the Indians. And she completely...
Navajo, specifically.
Navajo, yeah. And she kind of just does her own thing, which I think is fine, because it's fucking fantasy books. It's her world, and who cares? But, you know, like that's what I think where people have a problem with. They all feel like she's respecting the Navajo culture, which I think is bullshit. But
I haven't read what you guys are talking about, but I have read a lot of Harry Potter, which is making me very sad and upset that I haven't read this. But Harry Potter, I'm going to check it out. I know she was coming out with stuff about history, magic in North America. But I think people might be upset about J.K. Rowling specifically, because even though it's fantasy, it does take place in the modern world, just like the Dresden Files. So
yes, but it's still in the modern world, but it's not in our world.
It is in our world. It is.
It's not in our world. It's
100% in our world.
But it's books. You know, yes. I realize it's in our world. But it's books.
She's not trying to rewrite history. She's trying to write her own story.
She is, though. It's a fictional history. She's by saying it's not in our world. It takes away part of. Anyway, we're talking about Harry Potter now. Not really.
What she was doing is not trying to erase the Native American history. She just decided to cast it in the world that she had already built. And people are flipping shit over it. And I was trying to bring this up in the fact that people are going to have issues if you do anything about anybody. So if Dresden or Butcher ever describes a woman as weaker, I'm pretty sure people are going to be really, really pissed off, even though women are definitely weaker than men.
Yeah, I'm not just...
And I'm meaning just physical strength.
I'm not saying that that people aren't dicks, because they are. And that's probably where most of this is coming from. I think that post on Reddit might be a troll post. I think it's really dumb. It's like, if you've read any of the... if they haven't read the other books, fine. But even if they haven't, like, it takes 5 seconds for your brain to realize that Jim Butcher's writing a character... And the characters.
No, it takes a little bit more than that, because there are tons of writers who do wish fulfillment characters that do try to justify their own weird point of views that way. Like, just look at fucking Sword of Truth, Terry Goodkind. Freak.
So,
my point is that Harry Dresden is a character in a book. A character in a book.
But it does take more than 5 seconds to realize that this aspect of Harry is a flaw, especially in the fact that every other female character calls him out on it.
So read the rest of the books.
We kind of glanced over in the feminist episode.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is read the rest of the books before you make a stupid comment like that. I think it's stupid.
I think you just don't like getting criticism on things that you like.
I don't like uninformed criticism. I feel like this is very.
I can understand people wanting to criticize what they've read up so like thus far. Another thing people brought up was the fact that almost every woman is beautiful and drop dead gorgeous in the Dresden Files, but they don't really take into account that it's seen through Harry's eyes, and he's just not very critical about other people's appearance. Not even the men. Everybody is described from sort of their best features. Like he's not like the way he describes Molly is like if you read it, you could understand it. Like he thinks she's a good looking girl, but it could also be understood that she's kind of buff and manly in her build because she's like kind of strong and you know like that's what I got from it. He's saying it in a very flattering way, but basically that she's very she's a bit manly in her build. If I remember correctly,
she has a medium build that is muscular, so I mean, it's not really masculine.
And a broad, kind of broad shoulders.
Yeah, I don't know.
She's an Amazon.
Yeah, so. She's an Amazonian.
Yeah, but he sees people in good light, and a lot of the people he describes as drop dead gorgeous as also supernatural beings, and have partial to full control of how they look. So yeah, they're gonna be good looking.
The supernatural ones should even be brought up because they can look like whatever they want. Most of them can.
The way he describes Murphy as well is that she's cute, got a buttoned nose, looks like someone's aunt. I mean, if you think about it, it's not really she's a drop-dead gorgeous woman or anything. It's just
and a lot of that
her features, good features.
And a lot of that, especially as the series goes on, the way he describes her slightly changes, and it's because of the way he feels towards her. Because that's how all people are. When they get to know someone, someone looks different once you get to know their personality. You know, that's just how we all are, how our psychology works. You know, you may see someone as being beautiful, but as soon as you find out they're a raving lunatic, racist, bigot, whatever you don't like about them, they're suddenly ugly. And the view of... sorry, go ahead.
Oh. No, I don't mean to interrupt, but if you look at this comment on the post that I'm talking about, like...
When was old enough to know better, young enough not to care ever said? I don't remember that.
I actually think that was a descriptor from Maeve, in the fact that he's trying to be jailbait.
But she's like several hundred years old.
She's like 150,
It's like
when Bob was asking about sylphs, if there were sylphs there or something, or he was asking
sprites.
About sprites or nymphs or something like that.
That sounds like something Bob would say.
It was something. Yeah, it was something Bob said. So,
Bob is a sexist pig.
He is, and you could say that is part of Harry because he gets part of his personality from Harry for
specifically 16-year-old Harry.
Yes, specifically 16-year-old. Exactly.
Alex linked his comment of the fact that he's talking about chivalrous and old-fashioned and things, but he calls every single female character in the book a bitch. It's like, I don't remember him saying that at all. He might have called Murphy a bitch once just in the fact that she was aggravating him and like got stung by the scorpion maybe at the time. But I don't think he called Susan a bitch. I don't think there was anyone else there to what?
I can't think of any other time that he's done that with any of the human characters.
Right.
I mean, he's definitely called people bitches, but...
All the times he called Kim Delaney a bitch, I mean, that was like every other word, right? So
I think there's a few women who like, wronged him, who he called a bitch. Like, maybe, the art thief? What's her name?
Oh, Anna Belmont?
Yeah. That may have occurred, but again, I think... So you can see that there's definitely people, A, who are already turned off, or B, are now being turned off, because of this post, and I think it's dumb.
Well, the people who are being, turned off from this kind of post, they're probably not people who are going to be, readers of the whole series anyway.
Maybe.
Some people just seem to go out of their way to look to be offended.
No, my point is that when the people told me to read this book, they told me by saying it's a really great book, but in the beginning, Harry is a complete dick. That's his character. If someone hadn't told me that, I shouldn't have said before it takes a few seconds. It did take me a while to get to like push past that and to say, okay, it's his character. I could have stopped reading at book one or book two. I got really close. So I think there's definitely a point there.
I recognize that book one, two, and three are weaker books than the rest, but I never thought when I heard them, I listened to them for the first time, I never thought they were particularly bad. They were like from when I got through them, they were good. I just realized when I went back that they were not as good as all the others. And like I never really thought that Harry was a dick. That's just me.
Well, yeah, and I'm trying to think that too. Like, I never thought he was a dick, but I did think he had a lot of traits in common with me, and I'm a dick, so maybe that's why I didn't notice. So, I mean, really, like, that. A lot of these things that are being pointed out as personality flaws are things that I do or have done in my own life, and so I have a tough time identifying with people that are like, ooh, God, he touched me with his eyes or something. It's like, give me a break. Like, oh, God, what Justin, world do you live
so,
in?
We're going to get so...
But let's be honest. What world do you live in where this is a problem that you have? Like, we're talking about a thing that, sure, we've got pictures on the internet, and we crack a joke about the five people that we've seen a post in our funny where the guy's wearing a fedora and whatever. But, like, if you don't run into this person out in the wild... You know, like, go to a Magic the Gathering tournament, maybe you'll see somebody.
Hey!
You guys can hate me. I know. That's a crack, but still. Like,
it's not a crack.
Another,
you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
We are all just immature 12-year-olds.
No, yeah, right. But the point is, like, come on, man. Like, It's clear that if you read the book, he doesn't hold these views against anybody, right? Murphy covered his fucking ass in Skin Game, and she's covered his fucking ass multiple times. She beats his fucking ass in Full Moon, and I hated her for that. I actually hated her for that bit. Yeah, like, come on. Clearly, the author doesn't have a problem writing strong female characters that Murphy's basically, she's not, I mean, she's sort of one of the main characters because she's the antagonist, protagonist giving him his work in the first couple of
books. You know, his best friend that's been there for 20-something years, and yeah, she's just a minor character.
Right. But the way that she's written, you know, she doesn't take as much, like, he keeps her at arm's length until book four. He finally decides to bring her in book four, and then she gets her ass kicked by something supernatural, surprise, you know. There's so much going on here, and we're going to judge it over one thing that he said in passing this one time in a book out of 15, out of soon to be 16.
It's probably just, like, it's a bunch of, I'm going to use buzzwords, of, like, not good with modern-day feminism. And it just kind of, like, it's condensed into one paragraph, and people just have this knee-jerk reaction of, like, I can't stand that, even though they can like everything else about it. And the fact that even Harry says this about himself, he doesn't act on it. He tries to protect Harry and Susan the first couple of books, realize it bites him in the ass, and it is worse than if you just let them make their own decisions with enough information to be able to do so. And it gets better after he learns his lesson. But even before that, he's not, like, trying to say that Murphy can't do shit.
Yeah, right. I don't mean to put a pause on this, but we're definitely getting into the territory that we got into in our feminism episode, and we're gonna do another feminism episode. So I don't want to waste.
Go, Justin.
And there's already probably Alex, people writing tons of angry emails and.
Right. I can hear five people filling up my inbox right now, but all five of them can be offended. I'm worried about the other 7 billion.
Uh-huh.
So, Alex, just to touch on one of the things you posted because we didn't get a chance to bring it up. I started reading through that post because you kind of cherry picked one where they talk about Harry talking about a Maeve, I think is what it was, where you know they're discussing how she's. She looks old enough to be dangerous but young enough not to know the difference or whatever the quote
old
is.
Old enough to know better, young enough to not care, I think.
Something like that. And
jailbait.
Right. Basically. I just want to clear up that if this is specifically about Maeve, he's never been more physically disgusted by another character. That's not a, oh man, I can't wait to get in her pants because half the time she's not wearing them.
I just thought of the Majassel line.
Exactly. Oh, it's like, come on, guys. Like, so to your comment where people are looking for or to Director Alex's comment where people are looking for something to be offended, like, do we go grab the PDF copies of this book and we look for the word feminist? Chauvinist, sexy, like what? How do you trigger on these words? Like how is that what pulls you out of it? We didn't focus on some of the other strengths.
Are you talking about me
sort of thing.
Or other people?
No, just other people. Yeah, other people in general.
I really think that would make a really great episode topic.
Okay, then let's
go through every time we find the word sexy.
Right.
or just talking about, like, and if we could get Alexi back or someone else who has a better perspective on feminism, that would be amazing.
Who has a good perspective on feminism? How do you judge that?
There's people who study it and people who are more involved.
This is going to reveal a lot about me. The people who study feminism are not the people I want to talk to about it.
Why? those are the people who are going to have the perspective of, you know, it's called a...
No, those are the people who are going to be fed bullshit and then believe their own bullshit because they got a diploma.
We're really going to a place that... Let's
get all the angry people.
Her perspective is important in this because she's in school learning from people who did that shit. Like, I have friends who went to school to be a history professor. Like, how do you do that? How do you just go to school and study something and then start teaching the shit you just got out of school for? That's what she's talking about, you know? Like, they didn't... They probably weren't in the rallies. They probably didn't actually, you know, do anything. They read it about in a book. They went to a lecture, and then they started lecturing.
I think most of the genders...
I am in a class called Women in Buddhism currently, and it's pissing me off in the fact that... Actually, the thing that pisses me off most is that they're trying to equate gender and how Buddhists deal with it with physics analogies, which just don't work. And I just sit there and shut up, and I was like, I do not want to talk to those people. But we're really off the topic of Dresden now.
Yeah.
One more off-topic thing before we get back to, like, the whole feminism thing. I actually have a problem with the whole... Like, modern feminism has gotten to the point where being a feminist and feminism, a lot of people see it as a bad thing because there's these militant, in-your-face feminists who just takes it too far. Like, I kind of just want to, like, disregard the whole feminism word. Like, if you're for equality, like, for everyone, male or female, I would say you're a humanist, not a feminist.
All right, so Andreas... Justin and Director Alex, their views on feminism do not represent the views of the Dresden Files podcast.
I don't know. We have a majority now.
John, I don't think you actually said anything about it. So
no, because I'm smart enough not to say anything.
Right.
My wife and I talk about this all the time.
Equality for everyone. Aren't you a humanist? Like,
I've had this discussion. This doesn't have, like, Director Alex and Justin know. Like, I will talk about anything, but. Like, the one thing that we tried to establish when we started Dresden Files podcast is to keep it about Dresden Files. And this isn't really about Dresden Files. So,
back to that thread about Dresden Files, then.
Yeah.
I don't know about this.
Wait, Andreas. All this is going to stay in the show because I don't edit the show at all. So
yeah, I know.
Yay!
I don't care. I mean, that's my opinion, and I'm not going to be shy about it.
No, it's cool. I don't have a problem with it, but... We definitely have another episode about this. Okay,
We should just do a super fight about it, but the podcast that we were trying to do is just in-depth discussions about characters. So we can just talk about individual characters really in-depth with, like, how they started and how they evolved, which I guess we kind of did with Harry, but and then everything that you both like, dislike, anything. But the first ones I was thinking of was Ivy and Kincaid, since they are a pairing that you have to stick them together. So somebody say something about Ivy.
Ivy is a really interesting character. I wish I could see her more. I mean, there's not a whole lot there, you know? I mean, she's been in two books and a little bit in Changes, and, you know, Harry named her, and, I mean, we saw the disastrous results of him getting involved with her.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and drop this bomb. I think Ivy is more of a plot piece than a character.
Yeah. Until she shows up more, kind of.
I think she's really interesting. You haven't seen her much, but I really want to know more about her and see more to her. Like, I really hope she's in Peace Talks, actually, because
She is in Peace Talks.
Yeah.
He's confirmed that Ivy and Kincaid will be in Peace Talks. So,
I'm looking forward to that.
Woohoo for awkwardness there with Kincaid.
Yeah, that's going to be great. He has refused to answer the question if Ivy knows that Kincaid was the one who killed Dresden.
She knows. She's smart.
But he's refused to answer the question, so that's going to be wonderfully awkward.
Well, it has to have been written down somewhere.
No, that's the thing. It probably wasn't written down anywhere because he's smart enough and good enough at fucking assassinating people to make sure that there's no record of it.
So yeah, but she just has the exact times of when things happened and the police reports and when he flew to Chicago and when he left.
It's still possible that she doesn't know. I don't think it's a given that
she might have cognitive dissonance, but she knows.
Yes.
Exactly. The archive knows. Ivy may not want to acknowledge it.
That's a good distinction, and that's something I thought was really interesting. No. The archive are not totally the same. What is the effect of Dresden giving her a name?
And her getting to have the ability to have her own personality to begin with.
Wait. The buffer. Going back to the archive knowing and not Ivy knowing, I still think that if there's anyone on Earth who could keep the archive from knowing, it is Kincaid. Because A, he probably has some supernatural prowess, and B, he knows the archive so well. The archive, not necessarily Ivy, that I think he has the ability to hide it.
It definitely has some supernatural. He is supernatural.
Yes.
Well, yeah, he could have gotten around ticket stubs or gas receipts or how to get to Chicago if he could use the Waze, but she still knows when he's gone and when things happen. And we don't even know if he can use the Waze. He said that he was completely normal. Maybe he can't do actually supernatural things.
Didn't he say I'm as human as you, Dresden, who is a wizard?
A starborn wizard. We don't fully know what that means yet. But the distinction between Ivy and Archive, if she didn't have her set personality beforehand, how much has this changed her and the Archive's abilities, just like Lucio was afraid?
That's a good question.
I think we'll see. I mean, we saw her when she was 10 years old, and then again when she was early teens, and now we're going to see her, late to teens to early adulthood?
We saw her when she was 7 in book 5, and then 12, 13 in book 10.
In Small Favor. Small Favor.
So she's going to be 19, 20 now?
Or? She's going to be in her late teens.
Yeah.
Because it's weird, the timeline right now between pre-changes until now is kind of weird. So.
Well, she's younger than Molly, so she'll be I think about 17, 18, I think.
Yeah, that's where I'd estimate it at. I could bring up the timeline that's on the Jim Butcher forums.
That's true. Justin, give your opinion.
About age?
Anything?
I like Ivy. There's no fucking way she doesn't know that at least Dresden died. I think you're doing her a disservice to her intelligence and her scope of knowledge if you don't think that she knew about Kincaid. Like, I would be surprised that by the time Kincaid got back, she wasn't at the door waiting where have you been? she doesn't fucking know. Because the point of the archive is that she's fighting the Oblivion Wars. She is the super weapon in the Oblivion Wars, and everything that gets written down anywhere ever, including on a napkin in, it was Small Favor, right? So on a napkin in Small Favor or on Dresden's hand or wherever the hell it happened to be at the time, she knows that. So I think Butcher said she's going to be 17 or 18 in Peace Talks. So.
Do we know if written down counts electronically?
I think he said it does.
Yeah.
At some point during the AMA, I think he said it does. So she's subjected to all that is 4chan.
4chan and Reddit and everywhere else. Oh. How is she not saying?
Those things I put in my diary. I'm so sorry.
She knows about
that.
That
Ivy and Harry fanfic. Oh.
Exactly. Yeah, right.
She's making a list and she's checking it twice. And she knows who's been naughty and nice. So.
She knows about this very conversation.
Well, not this one. Yeah.
This is electronically being recorded.
But you can see all of our chat,
spoken
though.
Oh, it's only spoken word?
Yeah.
So, if
well,
you
Well, no, I'm saying not spoken word, right?
Yeah. So, if you a written word. So, if you record something, she doesn't know about it?
I guess not. It has to be written down. What we say in the chat, for example, she would know that.
So, when the NSA transcribes this conversation,
it's possible Google is transcribing.
There you go.
Unless she can read the binary text of it, everything. Everything has to be translated into the ones and zeros. Maybe she can put it together from that.
Oh, shit. Yeah, that's a good point. So.
It is. Maybe. I mean, we won't really know until it becomes an issue in a book.
Right.
Or someone asks and wastes a question on Jim about that.
Well,
that's better than asking about, how'd you get into writing?
Yeah, you know? Exactly. I was going to say, like, waste is strong. I think waste is the 11th time that he's answered, you know, his origin story or something like that. And that's why we were going to curate our questions, because it's like, I am happy to link you to any of the dozen AMAs in the last year where he's answered that question, so... Yeah, if it hasn't been asked, it's a great question. You know, Boober Ass Man, that might be a waste, but, you know, because it doesn't tell us anything about the books.
Yeah, I kind of wish at a certain point he would just be like, I've already answered that.
Go to YouTube, search for me. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. He just starts handing out stickers to let me Google that for you. So.
Yeah.
So, okay, the other part of the pairing, I'm going to move us forward in the conversation. How much do you think Kincaid can actually do supernaturally? He does seem to have, like, faster reactions than average, is really over-the-top accuracy, because some people miss sometimes. He never does.
What's the point of firing if, you know, if you're going to miss?
Yes. Trust me.
I'm thinking he's lying. He's like half demon or something?
Yeah, he's a scion of a demon and a person. So yeah, he's half demon. Don't know what kind of demon.
And we don't know. Harry saw him once as in the spiritual side, and he was like a massive demon with like horns screaming at the ceiling. So yeah, but I don't know what his capabilities are. He probably is like super fast, super reflexes, super strong. Or stronger than normal, like maybe on winter night physical abilities. I would imagine. I mean,
yeah, he obviously has longevity. Like, he looks probably 35 forever.
Yeah.
And when Ebenezer met him, he had hair. So.
He's been around for like a few hundred years or something, hasn't he?
If he was working with Dracul or Dracula, then it was 1400s.
Dracula's father. Yeah. And, like,
1400s then. So, I mean, do you think he'd be able to use the waste, or is he just kind of like...
Well, here's a question. Is a scion, do they have to choose if they're going to be a demon or like a changeling? Do they have to do any of that? Maybe he's like Sarissa.
That's only been specified with fairies, so we don't know.
I thought that was specifically changelings.
Yeah, well, we don't know. We don't know enough about scions to really comment on what a scion is or what it can do. All we know is it's part... human and part demon, like Thomas, basically.
I think it's he's somewhere between vampire and fae, I think.
I mean, okay, demons, are we meaning biblical demons? Do we have any source for
fallen.
That?
That's fallen. That's biblical demons.
Fallen angels, demons, like that way.
No, we're talking demons like down below that, you know, they do evil things, but they're not working for like hell. It's like like in Full Moon, the demon that summoned up Chauncey.
But Chauncey was working for Satan. Yeah, like working for
Chauncey was from hell. And so I think there is like fallen angels, demons that is like right below like the fallen angel, and then below that there are some sort of never creatures, demons that work for the devil, but they are like. They're demons, but they're off the never, something like that.
I don't know. We don't have enough information from the books to really know.
Is Evan in the never? We don't know that.
Well, Harry said they're all everything is in the never, but he's not exactly reliable when it comes to knowledge about that, and we can't really trust everything Jim says because he lies.
The outsiders are not in the never or in
outsiders,
our world.
Outsiders are from outside of reality. They are H.P. Lovecraft's. You know, nightmares, basically. That's the outsiders.
I've never read those books.
You should. All of them. You should just read all of them. They're all short stories. So.
You know, as far as we, you know, bringing up Chauncey, I think that's another, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. I think that may be one of the discrepancies from the earlier books that just kind of got written out.
I kind of felt that way, too.
Yeah. Which really sucks because I really like Chauncey.
He was awesome. He's cool.
Well, he's been mentioned afterwards. Like, he was mentioned. That conversation got mentioned again.
He's like, well, Chauncey, like, if I have not read the first books in a long time, but it's like, he was like kind of like a crappy demon-y looking with glasses or something.
Yeah, like, after he tried to get out of the circle, he put on glasses, and I don't know, for some reason I pictured it as glasses and a top hat, but I
don't think there were glasses. It was definitely glasses. And he's like, I just imagine this crappy thing with claws, putting on glasses and then talking in a cultured British accent.
Yep. That's awesome.
Wasn't there another demon that got summoned into like a Cabbage Patch Kid, and there's tobacco?
She wasn't a demon. I think she was...
Oh, it was a Loa.
She's a member of the Loa.
Yeah.
Which is from the voodoo and hoodoo. And...
Okay. So it's possible, though, that there are demons, just other cultural demons, and not necessarily the devil demons.
Yeah, that's what has been described to us, kind of. I mean, if any of the books took place in a different culture, we wouldn't have angels and fallen. We'd have something else from that culture.
Well, actually, I assumed that the fallen were not working for the devil. They're actually working for themselves.
It's brought up that Lucifer helped them in one of them.
Yeah,
right.
But Lucifer helped them do the...
That doesn't necessarily mean that they're directly working under him. I think that Lucifer has his own set of underlings, that Chauncey's probably one of them.
Okay, from what I understand, Lucifer was an archangel, and all of the fallen demons, the Denarians, were not archangels. They were below that. So when they all fell, they were inherently under his power level. Probably meaning that they were
not power level. I mean, they're not under his influence. They're not necessarily working for him or part of his organization, in quotes.
I kind of see them as his elite strike team.
Well, it's mentioned in, I think, Death Masks, about how they're the rebels. They're the ones he didn't want around in hell.
Right.
So he sent them out into the world. So that...
I don't remember that.
But... Yeah, that's in Death Masks.
I don't remember that either.
I like having John here, because he's been backing me up on like everything I said.
I've read most of these books, except for Full Moon, 20 to 30 times, listening to them, reading them. You know, it's all stuck in my head.
So I don't remember that, but I'm pretty sure that they are working for it. Like the one where he gets his soul fire, he gets that because the devil gives them a massive power boost to make that pentagram shutting off the archive's powers.
Well, that's what Harry thinks.
And it's what Harry thinks, but it's also implied by Michael thing? No, it's not. It's which angel is it? Uriel. That's like he gave him a more permanent power, but less powerful.
Wasn't a direct saying that that's what happened. It just means someone broke the law, broke the rules. That's all it means, that he gave him power. That could have been the attack on Arctis Tor by Thorne Namshiel, if that's actually what happened. I mean, that's one of those things, is that we don't have enough information. We're kind of, you know, in this spot where we don't have enough information for that. We can speculate all we want. It doesn't mean we're going to be, you know, correct.
I'm probably right. It is confirmed when Jim puts it in a book or tells us.
Yeah.
Until then, we can just speculate.
And like I said, Jim lies in interviews, so even then you can't take everything he says as true.
He lies to us for a living. Why should we have to say anything he says?
You pay me to lie to you. I love it.
So we're kind of getting that topic change.
We started like Cade, right? And he's a half demon. That's where we started.
Topic change. Let's talk about Alfred Demonreach. Alfred, not Albert.
You know, Albert, not his less successful cousin.
Alfred Demonreach. Because, I mean, it has the same interesting quality as the fact that, like, what does having a name mean to this island, not island, entity?
Yeah, this genius loci. Because, I mean, he's now a separate entity. He wasn't really a separate entity before he got that, before we saw him, you know, was it a small favor that they had the island when it first showed up, right?
It's the one with the Shagnasty.
Yeah.
It's Turncoat.
That's Turncoat. Turncoat
is
small favor is where Michael gets hurt on the island.
Right. Yeah, and then like the person thing shows up in Turncoat when he binds the island to himself. Yeah.
He does the ritual.
I wonder what the others like. Now he knows it's the prison, which I guess is what the people like listeners to him, the gatekeeper referred to when they said you don't know what this place is and stuff, and you've bound yourself to this place. I think that's what they were referring to. They knew about the prison, I guess.
Oh yeah, I'm sure, especially the senior council. They've got to know about stuff like that. Ebenezer obviously would know if he's got Merlin's books.
If there was one on the senior council, I think that has no idea, and that's
Christos,
Sleazy Slavovich.
I like that. It's like you just left him there in changes.
what was that? In changes. What was that in changes?
So Ariana went to the White Council to like talk about peace, and Ebenezer and Christos were the only one of the senior council that were actually there. Everyone else was hidden. And so Harry's like, you just left him there with a vampire?
It was his idea.
It's Ebenezer. I mean, I remember in changes when he shows up and he's like, you picked the wrong team, boys. Shush, 200 people dead.
So like about the senior council, Rashid definitely knows what's going on with the island and probably what it was meant to do in terms of like maybe what Merlin was talking about. But then he said that the island holds a grudge, and Harry thought of the limp that Alfred has. What the hell could Rashid have done to cause Alfred to have a limp?
I think Jim's actually said that the limp has nothing to do with the island. That was just Harry inferring something that wasn't there.
Yeah, he said that was from an ice age that actually caused a limp.
Yeah,
I think... the island.
Right. Yep. They do briefly touch on that. In Cold Days, I want to say, where he actually sees more of the island and sees the jail, and he's like, oh, that must be where he got his limp. And it's like a one-liner. I can't remember. But the Ice Age, the glacier thing makes sense to me.
The glacier thing came from a word of Jim. So.
Oh, did it? Okay.
So, yeah. So it's kind of suspect, but...
Well, it's between that and what Bob showed Harry about the formation of the island, I think is where, like, so because the island wasn't an island yet when, the Merlin made it, right? Like, they don't mention that in any of the videos, and then you see it's made in five different points in space-time.
He shows up on the island, and then he does things on the island in five different points in time at the same time. Get your head around that. But the island as a landmass is there already. It doesn't make
That's
it.
That's why it was chosen. It was chosen because it's around water.
Yeah. But so, like, a glacier just hurt the island itself, and that caused Alfred to have a limp.
I don't know.
Alfred is a manifestation of the island. So if the island was hurt by a big glacier, I guess Alfred would have a limp from it.
Wait, did we talk about Rashid?
Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe you shouldn't leave in the middle of a podcast.
I definitely think it was Rashid.
It
was a glacier, but like I said, you can't really trust what you're doing, Jim.
I don't think Jim has lied. He's just avoided telling the whole truth. So if he says something concrete like it was a glacier, who knows, maybe Rashid conjured up the glacier, but it was a glacier.
Right.
Yeah.
If we're talking about ice, maybe it was MAP.
I love when he can threaten MAP when he's on the island, when he can actually, he's powerful enough to threaten her there. Oh, that's so good.
If it was MAP, why would Demon Reach work with MAP?
Boom.
Because she was bound to help Harry, and Harry is the warden. They are bound through Harry, and that is worth it for them to work together.
I don't know about that. I think Mab is... She could very easily... How is she bound to help Harry? She's not even bound to help him.
She needed her knight.
But she could have very easily gotten a new knight. She says that over and over again.
Yes.
She wants Harry.
She needs Harry.
I don't know about that.
She specifically wants Harry. Whenever she's like, I could have another night, she's doing everything.
She wouldn't be mad.
Telling the truth, but not the whole truth.
She wouldn't be mad if she didn't have a backup plan.
She has a backup.
Yeah,
she has a backup. Is a backup for a reason.
I don't know. I don't think she would have worked with Demon Reach if it was her. Or he would have. I don't think.
Maybe there. Maybe whatever issue they had was resolved.
Or maybe it was the previous Winter Queen.
That's possible.
You know, because Mab's only been, you know, queen since Hastings, evidently, the Battle of Hastings.
Is that a Word of Jim thing?
No, that's from the books.
It is?
Yeah, the Battle of Hastings was kind of like a changeover in hands from other people to the queens and how to handle things. But was that when Mab actually ascended to queen, or is that...
That's the last time that Titania and Mab talked.
That doesn't mean that it was the time when they ascended to queens. It's just a...
There's a word of Jim about it. That's like I said, we don't really know. Word of Jim could be a lie. I can't remember exactly which...
I don't think Jim lies. He just doesn't tell the whole truth.
He's a fairy.
He's a fairy. Yeah, he's a fairy. But yeah, Elfrin Demonreach, definitely my favorite non-human entity.
Not really? Bob.
I really like Alfred. I do like Bubbles. I like when Alfred is like downloading information into Bob, and then Harry's like, "What is he saying? He's trying to dumb it down for me, kind of." And then he's like, "But what is he saying? I'm trying to dumb it down for you." I really like that.
Wait, you're saying out of all of the non-human entities, that Demon Reach is your favorite? So Mab.
Well, she's not, like, I don't describe her as a non-human entity.
I mean, she's non-humanoid, you know, solid.
Yeah. She's like Mab is, she's not human, she's not mortal, but when I say non-human entity, I think, like, spirit beings and stuff like that. Which might be the wrong word I'm using for
it. Non-corporeal?
Yeah, non-corporeal.
So Bob is, it's, you know.
Awesome. Bob is like probably my same favorite. I really like Demon Reach. It's like his curtness and his I like him. I think I'm looking forward to more of him.
Wait, what about Mort's Guardian from Ghost Story that nobody remembers because that
book is a
piece of crap?
Yeah, Stu.
Yeah.
It was cool. It was actually pretty cool.
I was just trying to insult Director Alex.
Ghost Story is a terrible book. We all know that.
I like Ghost Story.
Yeah, see, Ghost Story is a good book. I mean, I'm reading
this thing. Ghost Story is like, there's Stomp, there's like the first three books, and then there's Ghost Story.
No, Ghost Story is much better than that.
Yeah. No, the writing quality is just completely better than the first three books.
The writing quality is really good. The book is just not that interesting.
I was just joking, guys.
I mean, I can keep going talking about Ghost Story.
I just re-listened to Ghost Story, too.
That's a good book.
I mean, they're all good books, but like the thing that I love about Ghost Story is that Harry had to understand that he was wrong about how to train Molly. He was too nice to her, and it hurt her.
Everything he did was wrong. He screwed up really bad, and that was his, you know...
I mean, hurting himself... What he did to save Maggie and stuff, that's one thing, but, like, he was just wrong about Molly.
It's almost like Harry is a flawed, complex human being and not just a white knight with a fedora.
Exactly. But, I mean, that's just one thing that I think Ghost Story shows a lot better.
Wait. If you're saying he was wrong, how do you think he should have handled it?
He should have been harsher to her. He shouldn't have used snowballs to teach her how to do shields. He should have probably used something like baseballs.
No.
Or ice.
That's not what he did wrong. What he did wrong was bringing her to Chichen Itza. His method of training was entirely correct if you have 100 years to do some training. He doesn't.
But he knew
Molly's
that
not a fighter, and she should have never been there. He even
should have let her go to Chichen Itza.
And he never should have asked... for her to, you know, help arrange his murder.
I mean, help getting her to arrange his murder in that way is morally wrong, but it's not inaccurate in the way I mean of how to train Molly, and taking her to Shichinitsa is something I don't think he could have helped at that point. But it's just the fact that he knew that they were at war. He knew that she was constantly in danger, and the only thing protecting her was him. But you can't rely on something like that, especially with how many times that he's in danger and things like that. And he should have done things to made sure she was able to take care of herself. Instead, when she's gone, when he is gone, she has to get training from Leah. Which did the exact same thing, that like using baseballs instead of snowballs.
She's not a fighter, so throwing snowballs or baseballs at her isn't going to make her better at evocation magic, and it's not going to give her necessarily a better shield overall. The difference also extends in the fact that you're talking about should have trained her to defend herself. She's more than capable of defending herself. The problem was he gave her a moral imperative to defend Chicago. And so she felt that as his apprentice, she needed
to walk to her
dead.
I don't think she fully got that from Dresden, though. She also got it like the type of thing from her parents.
I'm
just
sure.
Just so she would protect her family. It's like, I don't think that's what Dresden did.
I actually think when you say that she should have been trained with like rocks, that's kind of like saying, well, my dad used to hit me, so I should hit my children.
And then I'll answer. I mean, I'm using that as the analogy of, like, he needed to be harder on her instead of as soft as he was.
What you're basically saying is you support child beating.
Well, she was an adult at that time. But let's also not forget the fact that he's also tried to melt her face off in several places, that was his tough love approach at training and getting her to harness her own.
Yeah, of course, my lash.
My real original point was, if
this is actually a good segue, I'll just say, to our last character discussion, which is Lucio and Morgan.
Yeah, maybe we should stop getting off topic.
Because that's also an apprentice trainer, and she trained Morgan very harshly with rocks and stuff. That's just why I thought it was a good segue.
It's just such a small line in Turncoat with the fact, like, how did you learn shields if she threw stones at me? And we have so much background that it allows us to actually understand the complexities of that with all of the characters involved.
Yeah. Speaking of Lucio and Morgan on their relationship stuff, but what are your guys' feelings on like each character? Like, let's just take them separately. Like, what do you think about Lucio? Is she a good character? And Morgan, is the characters you like?
Both of them are wonderfully complex, and I love that.
What I'm wondering is, what the heck happened to Lucio? We don't know, right?
Yeah, that's one of the things I brought up in one of the discussions on the subreddit, was we have no idea what happened to Lucio. We don't even know if she's alive right now. We have no idea.
Last we saw her was in Changes?
Yeah, Changes. That's 2 years before Peace Talks. So are 2 years and like 4 months.
If
so,
she was dead, I think she would have been told by the gatekeeper. They didn't have a relationship, and he knew that. So,
but the gatekeeper had all the shit going on at the gate, outer gate. So I mean, there's only so much she could.
I think
tell
he's
him.
Being kept up to date about what's going on in the council.
But
I don't
he
think
might
he's,
have
I don't
just
think
slipped
she's
his
dead
mind to mention it.
Yeah. I don't think she's dead. At least I don't think. I hope not.
She's
I love
fine.
Her.
Yeah, Butcher's not going to let her freaking die off screen. Are you fucking kidding me? Like,
we're going to see it when it happens.
Yeah, he barely let the Battle of Sicily happen off screen, and then he made sure that we fixed that in a comic book so that you get the full impact of what actually happened there. So there's no way that someone of her power and magnitude is going to just slip away.
But John's saying when it happens, it won't happen.
Wait.
We all know that Dresden will end up with Lucio in the end.
Point of information. He actually did let someone die of a power of her magnitude off-screen, Simon at Archangel.
But he
or
wasn't.
Or maybe he did die because maybe he's Kel.
What? Was he a what? It's possible he didn't die. What were you saying, Justin?
But I'm saying he wasn't integral to the story either, necessarily. Like, he was. He triggers off a lot of retributions and things like that, but he's... Like,
this is for Archangel!
Right. He didn't have sex with Dresden. How's that?
Right. We never met him. We never met him in the books. So he's not really, you know, that important.
No, wait, it's Remember Archangel. That's what he says.
Yeah.
Remember Archangel.
I still think Simon is Cal, but...
Cal is strong. He's senior council strong, so...
And he knows things that's going on inside the White Council.
But if Simon is pretending to be dead and is Carl, how is he still getting up-to-date information? I have echo?
I think so.
He could be getting updated information through... Well, he could have been getting it through Peabody, and there's probably other spies still there that we just don't know about.
Yeah.
I mean, it remains to be seen. Anyway.
So you're not going to subscribe to the Listens to Win as Cal theory?
Oh, God. Well, then Harry is actually Cal, but from the future or past or something? I don't know.
I don't like any of the theories, so I... No matter what happens, we're going to be disappointed because we've all built it up so much.
Yeah. Yeah. But as far as... Go ahead, Alex. Go ahead.
There's just one thing that I really like about Lucio is... It happens off screen, but we get the sense of character development over time, and the fact that she was this vibrant, lovable, dancing person in her youth, and like very passionate, and now she's really hard and cold and isolated from everyone because that's her job. And just the fact that we get to see the after effects of the evolution, it makes it seem like we get to experience it, but we don't. And it's like that is part of like the skill of writing that he grew into. That makes it so much better.
I felt so bad when it was revealed that she was being mind controlled into being with Harry and stuff. Because yeah. I really enjoyed seeing them together and her being coming out of this hard shell that she was in and like loosening up. And I thought I was really sad about that. I thought it was Lucio and Dresden. Always in my heart.
It was the perfect fuck you to all the readers who liked them. You know, that's what it was. It was, you know, Jim is saying, fuck you. You don't get to happiness. You don't get to have two happy characters.
Well, I think
Harry's happy? We gotta do something about this.
Exactly.
I think that he's following the trope you see a lot in fantasy where it's a person's happiness versus a person following traditions or following the way things should be. So when she's mind controlled, you can kind of see her going away from the way things should be and going towards her own personal happiness. So you kind of get to see that comparison. I think it's interesting. What do you guys think?
It is interesting.
Yeah.
Of course, you have the whole, you know, hero's journey that he's going through, which he's, you know, Jim's put on just about every part of that. So from the, was it Joseph Campbell's, can't remember the book was called.
Yeah. Tropes. It's good stuff.
Yeah, the tropes. But I was just talking about, you know, Joseph Campbell's specific, the cycle of the hero, you know, from, I think, Monomyth or something. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It's been so long since I've read it that I can't remember specifically what everything's called.
So, what about Morgan? My thoughts about him is like that grumpy, lovable asshole you didn't realize you missed until he was gone. Like, I used to really hate him because how he treated Dresden, but as you got to know the character, he grew on me, especially his redemption in the end.
I think I started to really like him in Deadbeat, actually. Like, the more screen time he gets, the more I liked him as a character, and I think part of it is the fact that, you know, I just appreciate it when people are able to deliver. And so, like, Morgan is one of the badass wizards, and he shows up and shit goes down, and you actually get to see him and Lucio in action, even though, like, he goes after Dresden and you're like, oh god, not again, Morgan. Like, you're there with Dresden, be like, give me a fucking break. But when you finally get to see him out of his element in Turncoat and kind of on the run and see him as the old grizzled cop when Dresden makes that realization, you know, like, that it really humanized him for me and made a lot more make sense. I still hate the scenes for the most part early on in, Stormfront and some of the earlier books where he's like, oh, you shit, you've broken the law. And he's like, dude, I wasn't within 100 miles of that law and you know it, you know, but, Morgan's one of my favorite characters. And I think just because he is, you know, he's the cop, he's the soldier, he's, you know, come on, he was within 20 feet of the Red King, for Christ's sake. No other wizard managed that outside of changes, so, you know, he was quite the powerful badass.
My favorite part of Morgan is the fact that he didn't tell them about Molly invading Lucio. It's like, along with the fact, like, I knew you'd know what it'd be like as an innocent man being pursued by the wardens, and he didn't tell about Molly, and the fact that, like, he was recognizing that maybe they don't have to be terrible, ticking time bombs. Just that, I don't know, his death was really awesome.
I choose to believe that that's what he chose to do, and not that he just didn't get around to it yet. So I'm just going to believe that as well, that he just didn't get around to it. But I don't know, because he's really strict about that. That's like a defining thing of his character.
The whole thing with Turncoat was showing how no one's safe from the Black Council, or whatever you want to call the bad guys. And it allowed Morgan to see how wrong he was about Harry, Molly, and that, you know, maybe the way that he learned was not the proper way, or at least something was wrong with it.
The lack of faith in the White Council, this effect that, like, oh, there is no traitor, and at the end, like, there's still no traitor, it was just Morgan, is the insidiousness of it all. It's really well done.
Is it like when Harry talks about the Black Council in front of Morgan for the first time, and Morgan has that knee-jerk reaction, like, there is no Black Council! I love that.
Yeah, how do you explain what happened to you then, huh?
Yeah, pretty much. I'd really like to see a short story from the perspective of Morgan. That's what, one of the things I'd really love to see. It was on my list of short stories I'd love to see. Morgan taking a crew of wardens, taking, you know, maybe before Dresden was even alive.
You know. I think Morgan versus Shagnasty in the 50s would just be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be pretty cool too. Yeah.
He dropped a freaking nuke on it. That'd but... be
pretty cool. I nuked it. That was so good.
Yeah.
I think Morgan is a pretty cool character. Like, overall, he's like, I didn't like him at first, but he grows on you. And I don't know how far Jim planned ahead, but he seems like it took a turn somewhere. And if that was intentional or not, or if he just, like, reconsidered Morgan's character.
Alright, sorry. Do we have anything else on characters?
No, those were the ones that we said, and we eventually got around to them all.
Yeah.
It seems like we discussed everything that we wanted to.
Yeah, I think we did go a little over today, but that's okay. Thank you. What's up? Was there something else?
No, just like, we went a little over with the fantasy rant thing.
And once again, the views of certain members on this podcast do not represent the views of the Dresden Files podcast. We will have another, I'm sure we'll have another episode where we talk about feminism and the Dresden Files, and it's going to be great. In the meantime, check out, what episode was it, Alex, do you know?
What? No, I don't remember now.
Just a couple episodes ago, we had a great guest on. We're going to bring this to a close. Once again, DresdenFilesPodcast.com. Thank you, John and Andreas, for being on the show. We hope to have you again soon. Check out the subreddit, /r/DresdenFiles. And please please subscribe, please, on both iTunes and YouTube. It helps us a lot. Also, check out BrokenJars.xyz, 42 Entertainment. I was actually on their last show. It's a really great show. Really casual, lots of fun. All right, did I get everything, Alex? Director Alex.